7. Suffer the little children. The damage from the laser was repaired in a few hours, and I was bundled back to the colony to be rayed and poked and prodded and interviewed by doctors and scientists. They couldn't find anything wrong with me, human or alien in origin.
"The treatment they gave you sounds like primitive arm-waving," Dr. Jefferson said. "The fact that they don't know why it works is scary."
"They don't know why anything works over there. It sounds like it's all hand-me-down science from thousands of years ago. Ares."
He nodded and frowned.
"You're the only data point we have. If the disease were less serious, I'd try to introduce it to the kids one at a time and monitor their progress. But there's no time, and everyone may have it already."
Rather than try to take a bunch of sick children over there, they invited the Martians to come to us. It was red and green, logically, with Robin Hood and an amber one following closely behind. I was outside, waiting for them, and escorted Red through the airlock. Half the adults in the colony seemed crowded into the changing room for a first look at the aliens. There was a lot of whispered conversation while Red worked his way out of his suit.
"It's hot," he said. "The oxygen makes me dizzy. This is less than Earth, though?"
"Slightly less," Dr. Jefferson said.
He was in the front of the crowd.
"Like living on a mountain."
"It smells strange, but not bad. I can smell your hydroponics."
"Where are les enfants?"
Green said as soon as she was out of the suit.
"No time talk."
She held out her bag of herbs and chemicals and shook it. The children had been prepared with the idea that these Martians were our friends and had a way to cure them. There were pictures of them and their cave. But a picture of an 8-legged potato-head monstrosity isn't nearly as distressing as the real thing, especially to a room full of children who are terribly ill with something no one can explain, but which they know is Martian in origin. So their reaction when Dr. Jefferson walked in with Dargo Solingen and Green was predictable. Screaming and crying and, from the ambulatory ones, escape attempts. Of course, the doors were locked, with people like me spying in through the windows, looking in on the chaos. Everybody loves Dr. Jefferson, and almost everybody is afraid of Dargo Solingen, and eventually the combination worked. Green just quietly stood there like Exhibit A, which helped. It takes a while not to think of giant spiders when you see them walk. They had talked about the possibility of sedating the children to make the experience less traumatic, but the only data they had about the treatment was my description, and they were afraid that if the children were too relaxed, they wouldn't cough forcefully enough to expel all the crap. Without sedation, the experience might haunt them for the rest of their lives, but at least they would have lives. They wanted to keep the children isolated, and both adults would have to stay in there for a while after the treatment, to make sure they hadn't caught it, the Martians' assurances notwithstanding. So the only thing between the child who was being treated and the ones who were waiting for it was a sheet suspended from the ceiling. And after the first one, they all had heard what they were in for. It was done in age order, youngest to oldest, and at first there was some undignified running around, grabbing the victims and dragging them to behind the sheet, where they volubly did the hairball performance. But the children all seemed to sleep peacefully after the thing was over, which calmed most of the others. If they were like me, they hadn't been sleeping much. Card, one of the oldest who had to wait the longest, pretended to be unconcerned and asleep before the treatment. I know how brave that was of him. He doesn't handle being sick well, as if I did. The rest of us were mostly crowded into the mess hall, talking with Red and Robin Hood. The other one asked that we call him Fly-In Amber, and said that it was his job to remember, so he wouldn't be saying much. Red said that his job, His function was hard to describe in human terms. He was sort of like a mayor, a local leader or organizer. He also did things that called for a lot of muscular strength. Robin Hood said he was being modest. For 140 Aries, he had been a respected leader. When their surveillance device showed that I was in danger of dying, they all looked to Red to make the decision and then act on it.
It was not a hard decision, he said. Ever since humans landed, we knew that a confrontation was inevitable. I took this opportunity to initiate it, so it would be on our terms. I couldn't know that Carmen would catch this thing, which you call a disease, and bring it back home with her.
You don't call it a disease?
One of the scientists asked.
No. I guess in your terms it might be called a phase, a developmental phase. You go from being a young child to being an older child. For us, it's unpleasant, but not life-threatening.
It doesn't make sense, the xenologist Howard Jane said. It's like a human teenager who has acne, transmitting it to a trout, or even more extreme than that. The trout at least has DNA.
And you and the trout have a common ancestor, Robin Hood said. We have no idea what we might have evolved from.
Did you get the idea of evolution from us? He asked.
No, not as a practical matter. We've been crossbreeding plants and fungi for a long time, but Darwinism, yes, from you. From your television programs back in the 20th century.
Wait, my father said. How did you build a television receiver in the first place? There was a pause, and then Red spoke.
We didn't. It's always been there.
What?
It's a room full of metal spheres, about as tall as I am. They started making noises in the early 20th century. Those like me remembered them all,
Flyin' Amber said.
Though they were just noises at first.
And we knew the signals were from Earth, because we only got them when Earth was in the sky. Then, the spheres started showing pictures in mid-century, which gave us visual clues for decoding human language. Then, when the cube was developed, they started displaying in three dimensions.
Always been there. How long is always?
Howard Jane asked.
How far back does your history go?
We don't have history in your sense, Flyin' Amber said. Your history is a record of conflict and change. We have neither, in the normal course of things. A meteorite damaged an outlying area of our home 4,359 Aries ago. Otherwise, not much has happened until your radio started talking.
You have explored more of Mars than we have, Robin Hood said. With your satellites and rovers, and much of what we know about the planet, we got from you. You put your base in this area because of the large frozen lake underground. We assume that's why we were put here, too. But that memory is long gone.
Some of us have a theory, Red said, that the memory was somehow suppressed, deliberately erased. What you don't know, you can't tell.
You can't erase a memory, Flyin' Amber said.
We can't. The ones who put us here obviously could do many things we can't do.
You are not a memory expert. I am.
Red's complexion changed slightly, darkening. It probably wasn't the first time they'd had this argument.
One thing I do remember is the 1950s, when television started.
You're that old? Jane said.
Yes. Though I was young then. That was during the war between Russia and the United States. The Cold War.
You have told us this tale before, Robin Hood said. Not all of us agree.
Red pushed on.
The United States had an electronic network it called the Distant Early Warning System, set up so they would know ahead of time if Russian bombers were on their way.
He paused.
I think that's what we are.
Warning whom?
Jane said.
Whoever put us here, we call them the Others. We're on Mars instead of Earth because the Others didn't want you to know about us until you had spaceflight.
Until we posed a threat to them, Dad said.
That's a very human thought.
Red paused.
Not to be insulting, but it could also be that they didn't want to influence your development too early. Or it could be that there was no profit in contacting you until you had evolved to this point.
We wouldn't be any threat to them, Jane said. If they could come here and set up the underground city we saw thousands and thousands of years ago, light years from home, it's hard to imagine what they could do now. What they could do to us.
The uncomfortable silence was broken by Maria Rodriguez, who came down from the quarantine area. They're done now. It looks like all the kids are okay. She looked around at all the serious faces. I said they're okay. Crisis over. Actually, it had just begun.